Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva of Israel Eyes and Friends. This is Carrie, and we also have Anna, Marianne, and our call screener, Rose. And we have Matt Ashford on. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how are you all doing?
Good.
Wonderful.
Good.
Good.
We're so glad to have you tonight.
I'm glad to be here.
So, do you have any opening statements, anything you'd like to tell fans?
No, nothing at the moment. I just figured it's a good time as any to engage with people. I was, you know, kind of waiting until after the Emmys, and now it's, you know, we have this opportunity. So, so it's a good time as any.
We all were so disappointed you didn't win the Emmy for Best Supporting Actors. When I saw your, I saw your episode, I knew right away, and I tweeted immediately, that's Matthew's Emmy episode right there, the one in the cabin. So I really was not surprised at all you got nominated.
Actually, it wasn't. That wasn't the episode that I submitted.
Oh, wasn't it? Well, that was the that was for the best show, wasn't it?
I submitted. I submitted the episode where Marlena finds Jack and at the pub. And she convinces him to go back to her ad hoc office and to go back to his office and to her office and actually go follow through with a session. Follow through with a session. So that's actually as much or even more so than the other one. There was just a lot more to it. It was very meaty, and it was also within that year. So I knew even while I was doing it that it was very, that it was a good, it was a, it was gonna be, it was a real gift. It was a real gift from the writers. And as it turned out, they submit. I met the writer who did it too, which is very cool. I was able to, we got a picture together with his Emmy.
Which one was it? Did the script for that?
Richard, I believe his name is.
It was Richard. Okay.
Coulton? Was it Richard Coulton?
No. Am I right? My brain is gone. I can see his face, but anyway, we hadn't really met before, but he's just the nicest guy, and he was so excited. And then I found out that, you know, Ken Corday told me it was the first time in 34 years that the writers had won. And so,
wow.
You know, that's quite a dry spell, you know. And I went to the writers at that night, you know, and I congratulated them, and they were very generous, and they said, "Well, we couldn't have done without you." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" They said, "Well, we submitted the very same show that I submitted." So, you know, in a sense, rather than just me, you know, winning one Emmy, I feel like I had a hand in helping. Like 25 or 30 writers bring home an Emmy to Days of Our Lives after 34 years. So, you gotta, I appreciate it. You know, you gotta take it where you can find it. And I certainly appreciated that opportunity. You know, it was a great opportunity. So,
Can tell they were shocked.
Well, congratulations on the nomination. Anyway,
well, thank you. I feel like it was my win. There were years ago.
It was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know it was. No, and they were very they were very upfront about it. So I mean, this is the thing is that, you know, the writers make the actors look good, and the actors make the writers look good, and everybody works to make the producers
for sure.
And you know, everyone were really these. You know, you, at a certain point, you have to say, well, this person gets it, but it, you know, the truth is, everyone has such a part in behind the scenes of any endeavor like this. So.
How did your daughter like going to the Emmys?
Well, she loved it.
Oh,
she really
great.
And, but she didn't realize that she was on camera. We were doing these web interviews, and, you know, she didn't want to, like, just kind of, like, look like she was sitting there doting. So instead she started looking around. So she's in all these interviews, just kind of, like, couldn't, like, looks like she was like, oh, yeah, I couldn't care less. What else is going on? You know? And And so it was very, that was a great leveler of the ego, shall we say. So anyway, yes, it was very fun. I mean, the only thing that was hard is, of course, just in the moments before, you know, they were about to announce, all of a sudden it became very important, and, you know, you kind of get swept up in it. And,
yeah.
And then of course, after they don't announce, everybody's looking at you and feels sorry, and, you know, and you're just like, eh. Well, that's normal, too. And then people say, oh, it's, you know what, everybody, it's you're a winner just being nominated. And you kind of go, yeah, but,
well.
You know, yeah. Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah, but that was, I mean, it's, anyway, it was fun. It was, I mean, it was, and I got a chance. I was sitting on the next table over from Bob Woods and Erica Slezak, and, you know, I wasn't sure that Missy was going to be there. She was there, and that was really wonderful because
yeah.
I wanted, you know, because as much as anything, I wanted to be able to share that with her. Deidre was there. That was very cool. And Crystal Chappelle was at the table. With me, with Michael, and so we got a chance to catch up. Peter Bergman, who I've actually known since New York, when he just gotten word that he was going to start playing Jack on Young and the Restless, and, you know, I was sitting another table over, and, I mean, just so many people, so many great, you know, people, you know, from GH and One Life to Live and you know, just all around, just a lot of people, and just it was really cool to kind of catch up, so... it was a great night overall.
Yeah, and the band got nominated also, so that was nice.
Yes, it got nominated, and they didn't quite know what to do with it. It was nominated. It was up with some children's programming or something really weird. But but the great thing was that it got nominated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was nominated, and it was just kind of very cool because people were, you know, there was this, you know, it got us some notoriety for that. And, you know, truth be told, I'm doing things in the Bay that I haven't been given an opportunity to do in next to forever. And that's good. That's good. I mean,
yeah.
I'm getting, you know, a lot of play, a lot of very strange stuff. And the next season is going to be just as unusual or just different. It's going to take some different turns. And I'm getting a chance to work with a lot of just great people, you know, Tristan Rogers and John Riley. I'm sorry, I know John C. Riley too. John Riley. Gosh, obviously Mary Beth. And then some other acts. Just a lot of people. So, I'm getting a chance to kind of work with a lot of different people now, and I can't. You know, if anyone out there hasn't seen the Bay, I really encourage them to check it out because for me, I'm getting a chance to kind of play some beats for me that went back years and years and years when the character of Jack was much, much darker and you know, kind of twisted in many ways. And, you know, I just haven't had a chance to play that stuff. So I'm getting, you know, so it's really nice to get a chance to kind of go down and explore that again. So I, you
yeah,
know.
Dave's the main villain on the show, and the cliffhanger, I'm not going to give it away because anybody didn't see it yet, was for season two. It was really fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you know,
oh,
I mean,
yes.
And again, I've been kind of going through this with Gregory, is that, you know, what you see isn't necessarily what you get, or what you see isn't necessarily what is there. I said there's truths and there are truths. And, you know, because, and we get to play with that a little bit more. I mean, I think a lot of shows just go with definites, but the real world is full of half-truths and half-lies and half-cover-ups and stuff like that. So I am, you know, fortunately we're getting a chance to play with that a little more because, you know, Steve is not all that he seems. And coming into the show, you know, saying, oh, yes, and he raped, you know,
Sarah.
You know, all those years ago, I was like, oh, that's already done. That's a known and that's a given. You know, and so I've been really, you know, it's something that's so cut and dried and done, and he has supposedly been off for 20 years in prison serving time. You know, that's why I had to kind of go over with Gregory, like, that, you know, perhaps some things aren't what they seem. And I think he's been warming up to that because it just opens the door to a lot, so much more. Because I said, hey, maybe he was there. Maybe he was a CIA operative. Maybe he was abducted by aliens. Maybe. All sorts of things. I said, once you give yourself permission to lie and make stuff up, you're just free. You're really, really free. You know, I mean, everybody has a story. And, you know, the thing I like about the character Sarah is that she is so, she's a nice person. She's a good person. She loves maybe a little too well, not too wisely or too well. But she, you know, she's had this whole, she is like a wrecking ball through the male society. All these guys have kind of thrown down for her and, you know, a lot of, and she has kids all over the place and you know, all these men kind of trailing after her, and she's this, and, you know, and she's you know, so I find that character, you know, very much more interesting because it's not like she's wicked or evil. She just is kind of, she can't control it, you know. She's got to have it or something. I don't know. But it's a great character, and she's not like 20 years old, and you know, this kind of thing. She's getting, you know, Mary Beth's getting a chance to really play this character. So, and you know, it's just anyway, I'm finding very, you know, interesting choices are getting to be played out, even, and it's still remaining, you know, within, you know, some certain date, you know, has a soap opera feel to it. But I mean, you know, the actors we're enjoying getting to, you know, play some other edges as well, which is pretty cool. You know, and everybody's getting a chance to play different things. Lily Melgar, I mean, just, you know, really fun stuff. You know. Anyway, I can't, you know, I'm very up on it just because it's been, you know, I was kind of waiting to see what happened, and fortunately they're writing more, and there's definitely a lot more of Steve coming up even in the first episode of this next season that we're going to be getting ready to shoot. A lot more twists and turns, but I'm pleased to say. Anyway, it's very cool. It's very, very cool. So.
Okay, yes. So season 3 is going to be underway then soon?
Maybe by the end of the summer. The end of the summer. But we're already, you know, getting scripts, seeing scripts, and, you know, a lot of, you know, and good stuff, interesting stuff. So, you know, it's definitely a woven tale. And we will see how it turns out. But I'm very, you know, I'm pleased. So.
Is there any news with Gregory trying to get it on TV? I can't remember if he tweeted that or if that was Jim Romanovich tweeted they were trying to get it on TV this time.
They're getting closer and closer to something. There's definitely interest after the Emmys. There's been more interest. You know, there's a certain amount of material that you have to kind of get together, and they're working on that. We're working on that. And then there's more and more interested investors, which is pretty cool. So.
Well, at one point, let me ask real quick. I'm not an expert on the day, but at one point, wasn't TNT or somebody like that interested? Or
I don't know, maybe, but
I can't remember who it was. But with the return of Dallas and it being, you know, scripted drama being so like it just struck a nerve, I would think that maybe there would be, that would increase the interest in the market for something like The Bay, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. They just have to, you know, unfortunately now, it's everything's just such a wait and see situation. They want to almost like have you finish it, get the whole thing done, and then they'll look at it, you know? It's such a different world from where things were years ago. So I'm cautiously hopeful on that front. I mean, we just keep plugging ahead and creating more material, and the show's looking really good. And, you know, the people from the Emmys were very impressed. So I'm not sure exactly where that's going, but they're definitely, you know, the producers of the Emmys were very impressed with the show, I'm happy to say. Yeah, so that's good.
Well, before our show started, Dallas was trending on Twitter, and so were numerous of the characters. And you've also trended on Twitter with the hashtag #RehireMatt.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah,
yes.
How cool was that to be trending on Twitter?
Yeah.
It was very gratifying to know that there are enough people out there to kind of like to trend me, I guess I should say. And also, I'm getting near to the 10,000 mark. I don't know if it's going to make a difference, but at least hopefully I'll be able to do something this is the way it was this some months back, that if you know you're over 10,000, they'll give you a good hard look and then establish that that is definitely you.
Mm-hmm.
They authenticate.
Get verified
so,
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, you're verified or something. But I think
we know it's you. You know.
Well, I mean, but for the sake of their business, it is a business for them.
Yeah.
They'll see it. They'll
official.
See it up to. They'll make it official and say
mm-hmm.
you are now officially verified, and so that's pretty cool. That's getting a little closer
mm-hmm.
too.
Yes, that's at Matthew_Ashford. In case anyone isn't following Matthew yet.
I appreciate it.
Sure.
Yes.
You know what? I'm going to take a caller. We've had a lot of people holding.
Okay.
Angela. Hey, you're still on, Angela. You didn't drop off this time.
Hi there. Great to call
hi.
You.
Hi. Hello, Angela.
Mm-hmm. It's an honor to talk with you. I've
oh, thank
been
you very much.
For many years on General Hospital and on days.
Yes.
And, I wanted to just echo what everyone's saying, just congratulate you on the performances throughout the entire post-traumatic stress storyline.
Mm-hmm.
It was
thank you
to have you on days, and especially having some really good material.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, was it David Levinson that wrote the PTSD?
They all had a hand in it. David Levinson probably wrote some of it.
Right.
But that particular show, it's that particular show. I thought it was...
Yeah, the November 7th. So I think Richard Colton is listed, I think, as the head person, but I know David Levinson was at the Emmys, and I think he's the one that spoke with the writing team, and he's also really good. But regardless, like you said, it was all great, and just thrilled that you had the opportunity to do that, and very disappointed that right now you're not on. You're still on days right now, but
yeah.
Kind of been slow here.
The funny thing is, it's always been kind of a joke that the people who've gotten awards on Days of Our Lives, that usually they're the youngest actors, and they get an Emmy, and then they leave the show. So, I just kind of reversed it around, I guess, a little bit. Yeah. So, but it's okay.
Like I said, I've been watching the show. I'm 47, so I'm getting old here, but I'm still barely in the demographic. But I think I'm still hanging in there a little bit. But I've been watching the show since I was a little girl with three generations of my family. And
wow.
We all love Jack, and especially my grandmother, and she's been gone for a while, but she got to see the very beginning of Jack and Jennifer, and she always loved to talk about that. It was we were just getting VCRs back in those olden days. So
back in those olden days, yes.
Got the show a lot more because my mom wouldn't always guarantee that we could tape it on the VCR, but my grandmother watched faithfully, so I always got to hear. And I've tweeted you, and you tweeted back, which I really appreciate too. It's always just a honor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Well,
thank you. Playing music.
Actually, my daughter's playing music. My daughter's playing
music. Oh, okay.
Yes. Not me.
Cute.
Not I. But no, she's multi-talented. Multi-talented. Yes. Yes.
Well, I think all of us have music. You've all got musical talent, don't you? Because you and your wife both have done musicals. And
well, yeah, but I don't play. I don't really play instruments. But you know, it's
What I had tweeted with you about a while back, and this has been probably a couple of months ago, actually. I was just so disappointed. I really just thought there was a lot of potential for Jack to interact with EJ because, and I've heard you say this in other interviews, which thrilled me too, is that, really, Jack and in the earlier, periods on the show, really was kind of a little bit of the EJ, politics and the power and all those things. And Grant James Scott are great actors, and so I guess that was one of the things that I had really hoped that we would see more of. But my question really goes to the core of the character of Jack. Obviously with the different writing regime, things have changed for Jack over time, different intervals. But I guess what do you really consider to be the core of his character? And And how does that contrast with the character of Tom Hardy that you played on General Hospital?
Well, the core of his character. Well, he, he really has remained he's a bit of a loose cannon because he's always casting about for what he thinks is going to make him happy, because he's not an entirely enlightened person, he's looking all over the place, not necessarily looking to himself, some of the scenes coming up this coming week I was very happy with the stuff that we were doing. I mean, they've written some really fun things, and I got to be with some of our last stuff was directed by can't remember his name. One of our new directors came from All My Children, and we actually got a chance to sit down and do a table read with him, which was very cool. We sat because things go so fast, and he wanted to take the time to really work on it. It's just he's no matter what, if he comes up with something that is fairly enlightened, he's not a very enlightened person. He's a very smart person, but he's too clever by half. A bit of a chameleon, I guess, to get what he wants. He hasn't been successful in a long time. I think that was kind of their way. There's a morality, to some of this stuff, and I think part of the morality of this world is like saying if you're going to be kind of slippery, you're not going to succeed, and, either be really, really bad or really, really good and successful. And, generally the people who own, this company, that company, they're all pretty straight on. I guess I can't really count Sammy, can't really count Kate, but that's for a female audience. That's their female, villainesses who are pretty important. Anyway, he hasn't been really successful at these ones he's done. We played some kitchen sink drama, I guess that's for sure. And dealt with some kind of fairly real issues, but his core, has always been a little bit of a trickster and. Playing the odds, playing the edge, playing the angle, trying to score here, score there. His core, he's a playful character. But I've never been afraid to be, a little bit malevolent, a little malicious. Planning for the best, and never really expecting the worst. And
Excuse me. I was just going to say, I just thought you always had that vulnerability in there too. He was never really one-dimensional. I mean, it would be easy, especially during some of the lighter storylines, to kind of slip into something a little bit more one-dimensional. But especially and even with the return in this last time, you always were able to really show that vulnerability.
Well, yeah. Even coming back this time, I wasn't even fully aware of how dark it would go suddenly, and then it did. I mean, I wasn't reading ahead or looking ahead or anything, and all of a sudden it got like that. I wasn't expecting that because we don't usually do that. So suddenly there we were. But I've always tried to say his expectations were always higher or farther, and he dreamed big. He was a little, he definitely, was kind of a Don Quixote to Verne's Sancho Panza, Jennifer wasn't exactly Dulcinea, but she definitely was that shimmering city on the hill. That's for sure. Tilting at windmills. He was, which is how people like Victor Kiriakis or the Demiras kind of tripped him up, because in the end he really did. He tried to play in their dirty, but then he'd be tripped up. Whether that's seen as a weakness. Or a strength, let others be the judge. But, it's a medium that's full of straight on villains and straight on heroines and heroes and that sort of thing. So
you've done a great job on Days, obviously, and I always enjoyed you as well on General Hospital. And I was watching an interview on YouTube not too long ago with Jane Elliott, and she had a lot of really positive things to say about you. So I guess it probably worked.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love Jane. I learned a lot from Jane. She's always been so sharp, and she was someone who did, as far as I could see, very often did exactly what was written. And sometimes that stuff was very difficult. It wasn't the easiest, but Jane would just do it and make it work. And that's
mm-hmm.
where I kind of like really see how people who are really, talented, seasoned professionals do amazing things. And so at a certain point, I kind of came back this last time. I said, you know what? I can do this. These lines will work. And they did. And they've been writing more and more for me in the last two go-rounds. So, so that was pretty cool. But I love Jane. I love Jane. She was a great stepmother. Yes.
Well, she's I think she was just emphasizing too what we already know, that you really are a superb actor and one of the best actors that's been on Days. And like I said, I hope that you still come back. But also, I know there's a lot of discussion and a lot of people on Twitter that are also talking about Tom Hardy. And I don't have no idea what the folks at General Hospital are doing right now. I know they're kind of holding on for dear life, trying to make sure that they're staying on.
They just brought on a whole mess of people from One Life to Live. So. They're probably that whole boat's probably teetering right and left right now. So, probably sitting a little low in the water. If they ever wanted to, it'd be great. But part of the when I left, part of the challenge was that when I came on, I was told that Tom Hardy was not going to be a quote unquote just good guy, which is what he had been. And I said, well, good, because I'm interested in playing someone who's not so clean. And we tried with that, and then they just kind of pulled back from that, and they went, and then he just kind of got squeaky. He started going squeaky clean, and I think, Tom what's her name, Felicia, ended up, they started off doing this 8.5-week storyline, and then they cut that down to about 3.5 weeks, And next thing we know, we were like taking the kids sledding and having cookies. Like, what? then the writing was on the wall. It's kind of like you can kind of see that. So, anyway, I don't know.
I know you the people that are waiting, and I don't want to. I could talk to you all evening, but again, I just want to thank you for the great work and all the entertainment and
thank
what
you.
You've meant. Whole family, because again, my whole family's watched you for a long time, and we look forward to seeing you again real soon.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Everyone would say, well, you never know, you never know. And of course, the way this, we had literally just seen something had happened to Stefano, and I was like, what? And then, like half a week before, a whole bunch of people had been blown up in a shack, but not really blown up, and you just don't know what to think. And then, but they, like my wardrobe, they didn't give me any of my wardrobe because they just don't know. And I said, well, I'll take that as a positive. I'll take that as a positive. So at this point, they're just kind of like being careful and cautious. So, whatever. It may just be that they're just that they can't afford to let the costume wardrobe go. So, who knows?
Anna, don't you have something to say about the wardrobe?
Oh, I think I'll hold back on that one.
Well, yeah, I understand. I understand a lot of people didn't really care for it. Too many like sweaters, and my daughter liked it because she thought it was like a little hipper looking, But it definitely wasn't suits. But I realized, EJ is the only one wearing suits in the whole show. So he's like the suit guy, really.
True, good point.
No, he's the suit guy. I used to be the suit guy. No, he was the suit guy. And I was going for, they suddenly were leaning more into, teacher
yeah.
and working at the university. And frankly, I'd been without, not working for, long enough. I didn't care. I said, sure, put me in the janitor's outfit. I'll go work at the, I really was trying to say, I'll do whatever I need to do to beyond, and that's why I really, I mean, I've gotten to points I enjoy. I don't need to have a suit to act. I don't know, maybe it looked better. Maybe it looked better.
You know what? It probably was because that's the image I had of Jack from years ago. Because I had watched Days in the 80s and then stopped watching for the 90s and part of, and into 2000s, and then started watching again about 5-6 years ago. So that was sort of the image that I had in my head. I'm not complaining. It was more of just a lighthearted thought, I guess. But, I mean, you're right, though. It's like, hey, put me in a sack. If I'm on, I'm happy.
Yeah, I will. I will. Yeah, I'll wear a burlap bag.
We haven't
just
seen
put me on the air.
For a while.
You know. It's, I mean, it like, and I know this is happening across the country, but, you know, to get health insurance, you have to work a certain amount. And the first time my health insurance lapsed in 25, almost 30 years was kind of a shocker. And it's like, when it's done, it's just done. And you're out. And it doesn't matter how much money you put into it, you're done. And I realized this is happening to people all over the country. So,
yeah,
right.
You know, I mean, and, you know, all the time that I was healthy, you know, not that I'm not unhealthy now, but you know, I kind of go, wow, well, that's cool. But now what about the future?
Yeah.
And you're
sure.
Like, well, you're on your own. fortunately, we had huge bills when my daughter Emma was ill.
Right.
And we had coverage from three different unions, so that was pretty cool. So that really helped because we were in the hundreds of thousands, so it was good.
Wow.
Very. I mean, yeah. I mean, so it was there when I needed it, which is, from a Buddhist perspective, you know, you can want and want, but if you have what you need, you truly are fortunate, and have had what I needed. You know, you just have to kind of challenge the fear of something like, well, what's going to happen? But, you know, this is the thing. Our insurance goes. The insurance goes when you're, you know, suddenly you're working, and then suddenly it's gone, and then like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Well, just join the other 99%, you know? You know, we're all together here. Here we are together.
Find a way.
Find a way, exactly.
Find a way.
So, anyway, it's kind of, one thing that has been a really cool thing is like when at the PRISM Awards, I connected some people who were soldiers and people from the Armed Forces Network, and they said that they were very excited that we were doing this PTSD storyline, and they'd actually watched it in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, whether it was being aired there or whether it was being shipped over in, like, care packages, people showing that, it was very exciting to people. And I realized they were excited because now the families had some common threads to talk about, to share. Because the truth is, you know, for a lot of people, they may not watch the nightly news. They may not, you know, 60 Minutes or this or that. But some people, maybe a grandmother or a great aunt or a parent of some sort or a daughter or a sister or brother, does watch Days of Our Lives. And suddenly someone says, well, you know why he's really struggling? We think he has that same thing as what that, you know, the PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And someone says, oh, you mean like that character Jack? I said, yeah, that's a real thing. And they might actually take it more seriously. And that's a really cool thing because it can bring it maybe into the family dynamic or people to talk about. Yeah.
Right.
It's such a rich
story, and I think we were all like, gosh, you know, they were going in a great direction and everything. It seemed like we kind of got robbed of the full story.
Well, but it all comes back down to commitment. I mean, there were a lot of wonderful actors on the show. Each storyline takes time. I suddenly realized that this potential was, you know, one of the things that really kind of touched me is like the people who have committed suicide who have PTSD who just couldn't, they couldn't deal.
Right.
They just couldn't deal.
Right.
And no one understood. No one could really understand what they're going through. And it's really bad. Well, I suddenly thought, well, what if, you know, I realized, well, you know, here's Jack in the middle of this triangle, which I found very compelling, by the way. I've always couldn't understand why people really, really got against it, and that makes me sad because the moment that they listen to people a lot of people said, no, 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 you know, Jack, you know, Jennifer and Jack need to be together. Forget Daniel. And when this was the first, you know, when I saw them together and I bought them, I could see that, you know, the Jennifer was truly happy. And this guy was a good guy. Yeah, he has his checkered past. Well, what soap opera actor doesn't, especially one who looks like that? And so, you know, it's all about potential. And anyway, it was the first real challenge. And but at the same time, this I didn't know how the post-traumatic stress was going to play out. And I thought, like, you know, what if he just started becoming more and more outrageous, which, you know, I love that. But underneath that outrage is a very is a real malady. And even up to and including, now here's where Abigail comes in. Abigail was like totally all over my case, Jack's case.
I love that.
Oh, right. I was totally unprepared for that.
I
was kind of like going, what? I just got here. I thought it was going to be funny. but I mean, no, what if? If well, I'm just saying, if in the midst of all this, she's Jennifer and Daniel are looking like, well, maybe they're going to have more going on. That, you know, and what if he, in the midst of all this, suddenly tried to hang himself in the shower, and Abigail came home and found him, and then Jennifer came in, and, you know, I mean, what, and, you know, it was like this unsuccessful attempt, but now they're all freaked out and worried, and he's totally drawn attention to himself, and did he do it on purpose? And I just mean, I realized that could have been a real interesting teachable moment, and for all we know, they may have actually written it. That may have actually been on. Who knows? Who knows? I mean, things have changed so much.
Change.
But that kind of stuff, you know. But again, it comes back to how the time is allotted, and they were trying to tell so many stories with very little time. And they remain committed to some of the main, you know, like this point, that, you know, the Sammys and EJs and you know, and some of those folks, they tried to really stay with them. And that's just that's the way it is. That's just the way, you know.
We enjoyed what we did get to see.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean,
just wish they would have explored it more than what they did.
Well, I mean, and maybe they would
like
have if they'd had more ability to commit. You know, when Missy and I got a chance to really kind of play, Stephen and Mary Beth weren't on the show. Peter and Christian weren't on the show. Deidre wasn't on the show. I think Drake was on the show. So, I mean, it was in 87, when I kind of came on, well, no, Stephen was on the show, but that's, you know, but yeah, absolutely. But they kind of, you know, we were a part of that story. So what I was saying, of course he was. Stephen and Mary Beth were on the show. So, but it was very different. And then, you know, so Christian and Peter came back and Deidre came back. And, you know, just I realized there's only so much room at the table.
That's true.
You know, so, you know, and that's a lesson, too. You have to kind of sit there and say, you've got to, like, there's got to be this kind of ebb and flow to however these stories go. So I'm, you know, and your ego tells you, no, I'm the most important. Of course I am, you know. But everybody has their day. Everybody has their day. You know, and the important thing is that you take your day, you know, that you do something with it. And,
you obviously did do it. You obviously knocked it out of the park when you got it. So.
Well, I've learned that, you know, now, you know, Al Rabin, who's just a wonderful guy. He was the executive producer for years.
Right.
He's now fighting pretty serious cancer, and we don't know how much longer he'll be around. But he was a wonderful touchstone. He goes back to the Bill Bell days, and he's been around this show forever. And he was our producer when Jack and Jennifer were doing our stuff with Shelley Curtis and all that. And anyway, he told us, you know, if we didn't quite go right, he said, that's okay, that's what tomorrow's for. You know, and at that time, there was a tomorrow. You know, we knew, I'm going to be on tomorrow, or I'll be on the day after, and, you know, 6 days after that. And, you know, so you really did have a chance to do that. You know, it's harder when you kind of go like, well, I'm working one day every 2 weeks or, you know, that. Then it gets too precious, you know. And that's where you start overplaying and putting too much on it and all that sort of thing. And, you know, it's just that's a challenge. We're part of a big collective. It's a big theatrical company, and, you know, and you have to play your part. And fortunately I've been allowed to. So, you know, I've had some great people to watch and learn from and enjoy, and so I appreciate it.
This is Rose. I just wanted to take it back to music for a moment. your daughter plays really brilliantly. I mean, she's really awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Does she play anything else besides piano?
She plays cello. She she had to learn. Obviously, she had to learn recorder, which is the kind of wooden recorder flute. I'm not sure if there's anything else. She might have a few other things up her sleeve. She sings. She has sung. She has been doing children's voiceover work for some time, and I hope it continues because it's great work. She sings. So she's got a beautiful voice. She's dancing now a lot and very talented. I'm afraid she wants to go into this business, but that's ultimately it's going to be her.
You're afraid?
What do you think?
Yes, I am afraid. I think I'm afraid. She remembers, you know, riding around in limousines when she was very small. She liked that. She said, I like this. And unfortunately, I said, those kids don't, you know, I mean, you show up in some place, you're going to some event, and there's a car waiting for you. She liked that. Of course she did. But, you know, that stuff doesn't happen. That stuff doesn't, you know, that was a time. And for 99% of the time, that is really over. So, we work through a golden age, and then that, you know, the next golden age, who knows what it'll look like. But we're really, I feel like we're going back to 1949 television days. You know, it's all very, it's all, no one knows what's up, so.
Yeah. And you sing, too. You've been in musicals and.
Yes, I sing. I'm doing some improvisation work now. We even sing in that. We just kind of flake things up, and you know, I'm auditioning for some musicals now. So I'm not going to jinx it. So I won't say anything. But you know, I'll let you know if I get it. So
that'll be good.
Yes.
That's
yeah.
So awesome.
I do sing. So I'm doing a lot of improvisation now, and for those who, you know, something called the Hot House LA, Hot House Improvisation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've been working with them a lot and actually getting ready to, I'm with a class that's getting ready to start performing in another, not this coming Saturday, but the next Saturday. And it's really interesting because it's a lot of, I'm really kind of digging back into my roots and really trying to find the improvisational nature. And I look back at some of the stuff I like best about what I was able to do with Missy and Wayne and people like that was improv. A lot of things just happened. We just kind of, and Steven was great for that stuff. Steven is such a wonderful, wonderful person to work opposite Nichols, just open, ready to just play. Whatever came out, and I realized, you know, it was those moments when something came up, and we said yes to that thing, and that was as interesting or more interesting than what else was going on, which, you know, sometimes made the producers crazy, but it made for some really good scenes, and I think some good television. So, anyway, and just I'm putting my plug in here for the Hot House Improv or Hot House LA, in case anybody is going to be in the Los Angeles region. You can look that up online and see, we're going to have some, we're going to be doing something in two weeks, on a Saturday nights at the Art, let's see, what is it called? The Arts. Oh gosh, where is it? It's downtown LA. but it'll be on the website. But people burst into song and start singing and doing all sorts of things. And, you know, I've kind of refound that joy of just improvising. Whatever comes out, it's great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when the soap stuff was at its best, yes, that's what we were able to do. Missy was such a, you know, or was or is such a good listener. She was always, I mean, no one really understands. It's like someone's got to be the straight man or the straight woman, and she was, and mm-hmm. she listened, and I did, would do outrageous things. But if she didn't listen and go along with it, it would have fallen flat on his face. I've worked with people, and that's what happened. And then I'd work with her, and it worked. So she was, you know, she's wonderful to work with on that account. And, you know, I feel very, very fortunate that we we encountered each other when we did. So that's a benefit.
Okay. We'll take a caller. This is Janet. You're on with Matthew.
Yes. Hey.
Yes. Hi.
Hi, Janet.
Hi. You pretty much answered all my questions, so I have a question from my... Well, you've answered them on their MapQuest from Facebook.
Oh, okay.
So
well, you could reiterate it if you want to. Maybe I can extrapolate.
Oh, well, actually, you just talked about it again, the PTSD storyline.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, is there anything in particular that you...
Oh, no. You answered it all. But my friend from Australia, who couldn't call in, wanted me to ask you a question about period TV dramas. If you were given a chance, would you do any of them, or which one would you do?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, obviously, everyone's hearing about, you know, I must have about to say Brideshead Revisited. That really shows my age. That's a great soap. the Downton Abbey, you know. I mean, nobody does it like the British. They, you know, but you know what they have? You know what they have that we have? Because of that class system that they don't deny, they totally live with it. They even have it still. The House of Lords is still has not let go of the right to representation. They're just getting around to saying, you know what? Just because you're Lord so-and-so doesn't mean you should be one of people running our country. They're literally finally arriving at this almost 250 years after we had to win our independence from them because of this whole lordship thing. Anyway, that class system creates such wonderful stuff for our for drama, and that, you know, that's in those stories and those class things, and, you know, I mean, it makes for great fun drama. If we could sit there and acknowledge that in this country, yes, there is class, and people have, there's upper class and there's lower class, and there's some people have and some people don't. It makes the people who have the money and have the power uncomfortable because they want to act like they don't have it. You know, that's my feeling. Conversely, I would love, you know, like the Game of Thrones and all that kind of stuff. I love that stuff. I'm having to kind of like stretch out now. So I'd love to be a captain or an ensign on a starship somewhere. I'd love to do sci-fi stuff. I mean, yeah, I would love to do sci-fi stuff. I used to talk to Richard Biggs. If you guys remember him, Marcus.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was on Deep Space Nine or whatever it was, and traveling to Europe and Paris and whatever, and, you know, and just doing this stuff. And so I love that, you know, because I'm, you know, like, I'm kind of classically trained, and they seem to have that, and it just opens the door. And, you know, Ray Bradbury, I love Ray Bradbury. I love, you know, this air of possibility, you know. So those pieces, those period pieces, or those future period pieces, I'm all into those, and I would love to be able to, you know, right now I'm looking like, wow, maybe there's something else out there on these different channels. There's a lot of, you know, aside from the reality show and the Snookies and the Kardashians, there's, and, you know, bachelors and bachelorettes who never get married. I don't even know why people, it's just so silly. Why do people even watch that? But I guess they just, it's the same disbelief that when they watch EJ and Nicole or EJ and Sammy, they think that they're actually attracted to each other. You know, they think that they're actually, you know, they want to believe that there's actually some E Jammy, E Jolie, E this, E that, E whatever. You know, it doesn't, you know, these are just actors. They want to work and they work together, but they're all, you know, they've all got their own lives.
So they can't read more into it.
Right. Yeah, but my point is that, you know, they sell that. But I guess it's that same suspension of belief that someone looks at the bachelorettes or bachelors and thinks, oh yes, and they're going to get married and they're going to fall in love. And the very first guy, you know, I was in San Francisco and I was up in Seattle, and this woman came up to me in the same place I was doing this talk show. This woman was had the next season's Bachelor. It was season two of The Bachelor, which, so this goes back a ways. And this woman walks up to me. She's the executive producer, and she says, "I'm your worst nightmare." And I said, "Oh, hello. Who, I'm so sorry. Who are you?" I am running The Bachelor and reality TV, and we are your worst nightmare. And I was like, okay. You know, I was like, it was very kind of unpleasant. And, you know, even if she was or she is, why do you have to sit there and rub it in someone's face? I mean, it was kind of weird. But, you know, it is what it is, and they've done that, and they're doing that. But, you know, they had all these girls up there auditioning to be the next bachelorettes with this next season's Bachelor, and they had this guy, I can't remember if it was the present guy or the present bachelor was on there. There was somebody there who was there. Their celebrity was maybe the present bachelor. And someone said, "Well, wait a minute." And someone literally asked her in their interview, says, "But didn't you and so-and-so, the first, you know, the guy that they were, you know, when he finally chose the girl and it was all done from the first season," they said, "Yeah, but didn't you guys break up?" And then without skipping a beat, this producer woman said, "Oh, yes, but now he's dating a bunny." So of course that makes it all right. Well, he traded up. He traded up to an actual Playboy bunny. I know, but there's enough millions of people watching it, or it's cheap enough that people do it. But at the same time, you know, we're into our like I say, I can't even pronounce all the Ejami, Ejolies, this, that, all that stuff. I mean, at least Jack and Jen, I mean, we kind of like, before that, we didn't have our names mashed together in this kind of like painful, but I don't know.
We're glad about that.
Well, it's very, you know what, it's not only just dehumanizing, it's just, it almost takes away from the fact that these characters have a life. It killed Ben, what's his name? Ben, not Stiller, Ben, the other Ben.
Affleck?
Ben Affleck, yeah, it killed him. Totally killed him. I'm sure he looks back and says, "That was the end of my serious ascend." You know, he made his own mistakes, and he's refining himself now, but he started dating Jennifer Lopez, but he says this whole Bennifer thing, it's not just emasculating, depersonalizes you.
Mm-hmm.
It depersonalizes you and turns you into this weird thing. It's very weird. So, I mean, at least Missy and I never got turned into a single name thing that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, whatever. It's okay.
Hey, but you have to admit it takes up less characters on Twitter if you have a magazine.
I know, but you know what? I mean, if you don't deserve a full Twitter, if it's all about less characters, then you're, you know,
sarcastic.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, you know, there was something on NPR, National Public Radio today about someone was receiving death threats because a critic criticized The Dark Knight Rises, and they joked, they said, "And I haven't even seen it yet," you know, and this guy's getting death threats on Rotten Tomatoes, and they literally brought down the site, they shut down the post because people were talking about killing this guy with tire irons and this and that, and I thought, this is bad enough in politics, but now movies? But
yeah.
It's this air of anonymity, people, and there's lack of civility. And, you
right.
know, I mean, there's people who, you know, because they think, oh, I can say this anonymously, they can say really cruel and mean things. And yet they're cowards because they won't, you know, they won't even attach their names to it. I mean, this is where I struggle with, you know, unfortunately, people for so long have been under this kind of like, idea that Missy, Melissa Reeves, has had something to do with my character's comings and goings, and she's had nothing to do with it. She's always just been, she's always wanted to work with me, around me, you know, and whenever she heard I was leaving, she burst into tears, and she was upset, and she was very sad, and then, you know, then there'd be someone who would write really nasty things, I mean, personally, they would write personal things about the person. Mm-hmm. And the kind of stuff that if you were sitting next to that person, looking them in the face, would you say that?
You would never say.
No, because
right.
so that's it's very cowardly and
well,
you know
it's kind of along the lines of the bullying behavior we see now. I mean, it's so much easier
to be
a bully online and everything.
I guess
sad.
My point is I would really wish that the people who followed me or followed Missy and me for years wouldn't do that, wouldn't be a part of that. And unfortunately,
right.
some people are and have been, and they have gone over to the dark side. And they've ruined it for a lot of other people because,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
unfortunately, Missy is very sensitive, and she has looked online and seen some really nasty, heinous things, and you know, and really hurt her feelings, really. And you know,
yeah.
someone doesn't think that. That people don't. That's what bothers me is that there's someone out there.
People are human. I mean, they're human. You know, it's like you forget
well, they are,
people
yeah,
have
but
feelings. You know, it's like ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why. I mean, if there's anything, even if that person is listening tonight, I really hope that they kind of take stock and realize that what maybe instead of writing something, they should think about it
uh-huh.
and maybe talk to somebody before they write it because, you know, a lot of people have been painted with a broad brush now, like Oh, well, those people are into Jack Devereaux, Matt, they're like kind of crazed. And that's really unfortunate because I've always maintained that is not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a few, unfortunate few, who've kind of like tilted the whole thing and created
yeah.
some negativity. And that's,
right.
that I think it's a fear for a lot of actors that, they say, well, how close can you get to people? And then someone writes something really, really detrimental about somebody you work right next to, and it seems like it's coming from you.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is,
right.
the problem is, we work with trust. We develop mm-hmm. trust. We develop relationships where we're where we're looking out for each other. And then this kind of stuff comes up, and
yeah.
it creates horrific stuff, so I guess I'm just going into this just because I'm very, I'm just kind of sad and a little disappointed about it because
yeah.
it's a very unfortunate thing. And I don't know if, Missy is now very, very, shy of comments because of the work of a few who just,
right.
who don't really know. They really
right.
don't know what the real story is, and
exactly.
they want to blame
mm-hmm.
someone, and they blame her. And she's just an actress trying to do her best, and they don't
right.
they hear one thing and they think, oh well, she's like this and she talks like that, and well, she stood up for Daniel and she didn't say that about Jack, and like, no, she just said what she had to say at the moment
right.
to support the storyline that's being written before Jack ever showed
right.
up. And frankly, I like Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people out there kind of go, well, don't you know who he slept with this one and that one and this one? I'm like, yeah, he's on a soap opera. Look at him. I'd
yeah.
sleep with him. If my character was like going that way, hell yeah. Whatever. Look at him. He's that guy. He's a perfect soap foil. And yet they write him like he's lost, and the women keep taking advantage of him, and poor Daniel in his six pack and. Sean is just a great guy. He's just a regular, wonderful guy, and he's done a lot of. He's very funny, and I'm really hoping we can work together in some independent films that we're working on and stuff like that. And I was just so pleased to be able to work with him. But Missy had. She was, she's trying to make it work. We're all just trying to make it work.
Well,
right.
And the truth of the matter is, I was an original Jack and Jen fan and all, but the truth of the matter is, it gets boring if there isn't conflict, if there isn't
yep.
something
yep.
driving a story or something driving.
Yeah.
So people who are really fans of the genre, I think, while they might have their preferences, they should be able to look beyond that, first of all, and know that the actors really have very little to do with anything that's on. I mean, they're not writing. They're trying to portray what's on the paper.
Well,
exactly. And a lot of people that profess to know the people who actually know what's going on behind the scenes aren't the ones that are actually tweeting about it. I can, the people
yeah.
who think they know are trying to spread rumors and stuff.
Well,
they
it's like,
be
I mean... I know. I mean, like, there was a rumor that I was absolutely being brought back to the show. Very, very clear I was being brought back to the show. And I would be asked about it. I said, I know nothing about that, you know. And I mean, without being poo-pooing on it, because, you know, you never know. But, you know, generally, I have a general idea if I'm going to be employed in the next, you know, 3 weeks or 6 weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
But this is not the case. So, you know, people definitely say things because they hear things or whatever. But you're right. The important thing is like, are you a fan of the genre? Do you understand that the genre requires, you know, if Bo and Hope are always together, and now Peter's leaving, as far as I understand.
Right.
They've broken that up because they had, you know, they've had a long run, believe me. My hat's off to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they've, you know, they want to free Christian up for something new, and so Peter, you know, the guys usually get the axe. And you know, same thing. So Peter and me, we clear. So because again, it is the female medium, and they want to see how is the woman going to deal with this, you know, rather than how is the man going to deal with it. And you know, when we had this, maybe it wasn't really well executed with Jack, Daniel, and Jennifer, but it was all we had. It's
right.
All we had. And there was, and you
well,
know, the negativity was kind of starting
to
flow in.
And I have to admit, as someone who, going into it, was more of a Jack and Jen fan, and I'm not particularly a Daniel fan from my perspective for a variety of reasons, but I actually kind of enjoyed some of that. I mean, I thought some of the scenes with Daniel and Jennifer were kind of sweet, and I had to admit it surprised me because I wasn't expecting that, you know.
Well, I saw them too. I watched them.
It adds up the drama, you know. It adds to the drama, though, you know.
Well, they also
he
brought out something really nice in her, and it was a real horse race. It was a real horse race, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like, you know, these other guys, you know, come on, we're talking with Frankie, and you know, but everything was just, it wasn't real. They could kind of feel it, and, you know, I mean, just one thing after another. It was never, ever since Amelia, so really, you know, people just weren't buying it, really, at all. And then, so here's Daniel, and this guy comes in, he's great, he's a good actor, and he's, and, you know, and Missy is, you know, they're finally working and creating something. And, you know, they didn't, you know, I know that they're these characters that they'd, like, gone to bed together. But it wasn't like with the Australian with, what is his name? I can't remember. He's
Colin,
yeah.
Colin Murphy.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they said, if you don't sleep with me, Jack's going to die. I mean, that was just stupid. Come on. It was embarrassing. And you know, Missy saw these things coming, and then she would say, they're going to hate me. And of anybody on that show, Missy really thought about the legacy of Frances Reed and being a Horton. She took it to. She thought about it more than anybody else. She really, really. In fact, I just had this wonderful memory of. We were with Frances, and when we were celebrating, somebody had survived and come home, and at that point we were celebrating, and so Frances's character, Alice, says, well, you know, at a time like this, I think there's always. As well, you know, when, you know, so-and-so comes back and we're all safe and sound, you know, one of the young storyline people kind of came back safe and sound and said, there's something I always think about. And they said, what is that, Grandma? And she said, single malt scotch. And it was just like, what? It was funny. It was very funny. But Missy really had trouble with it. And Frances, funnily enough, said, why? Why? I'd love to have some single malt scotch. Why not? Enjoy it. I realized that it was Frances giving Missy a goose, saying, hey, everybody has a chance to grow and a challenge. And Frances hadn't been challenged in years. I mean, you're like, she's going to overeat on the donuts or something like that. You know, I mean, you get turned into a saint and there's nothing real about you anymore.
Right.
Well, so she's, you know, so they went back and forth. And Missy was saying, no, your grandma Horton. You don't drink single malt scotch. And she goes, why not? You know, I just heard them going back and forth and stuff. This is so charming because Missy is holding on to this wonderful dream of the idea. And Frances is a an actress with like 70 years of experience saying, I'm always growing, I want a challenge, and I have no problem with being seen as a human being. That's a golden memory for me. But it speaks to me about, you know, Missy's sincere desire that there is a kind of a moral compass and you know, that it's, that you don't, you're very careful with it. And she wanted, and she believed that her character was, could be that type of a person, could be you know, kind and caring and still get into trouble. And I said, you know what, this is the thing. When you're that kind and you're that caring and you're that open, men are going to take it the wrong way. And that's a problem too. And that's what goes back to that thing with Mary Beth's character on the bay. You can be kind and open and caring, and men are going to say, oh, she wants me, you know. And then you've got all sorts of problems. And she doesn't have to be a conniving, you know, temptress and this and that. You know, there's no reason, you know, let the men behave like men. And you've got more trouble than you won't have to create two-headed characters and brain transplants and evil twins. Let the guys just behave like guys. And women's hands will be so full. They'll just be busy, you know, because the guys are a bunch of idiots, you know. And I say that with love, being a guy. You know what I mean? So we just, my point is, we just got to just enjoy being human beings. Just be a human being. You know what I mean? So anyway, that was my long, what was that diatribe about? I don't know.
No, it's fine. No, it's true.
But I just, you know, I enjoy the thing. But underneath it all, I really wish, and I think this is happening throughout the industry in nighttime, they're having soap operas all over the place, and the men are parts of the soap operas, and they're behaving like men. And the women are amazing because they're being women, still accomplishing the goals they have to accomplish, but dealing with these men, not these kind of, you know, visions of a man behaving like this kind of puffed up pretend person. So, anyway, it's what it is. Okay.
Well, thank you for answering my question.
Yeah, whatever that was, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember the original. No.
I really don't either. I just kind of like, I went off on a tangent.
Actually, I know other people want to ask questions. I have a really quick one, if I can, really quick.
Yeah.
I was on the NBC studio tours just last month, and I did get to see the Horton living room when the stage doors were open. Is it bigger than that from what they had just sitting there, or, I mean, because it looked kind of small.
Oh, that's it? No, it is very small.
Is it?
That was a fun thing. I was able to kind of go with, you know, with, we did a tour. We were in Chicago, and we did a kind of a basic Horton set, mm-hmm. and it was very cool because it was very small, and it was, but set up with flowers. It's for a flower show. But what I think is people don't really understand is, like, how small things really are.
Yeah.
I mean, and this set isn't that tiny. It used to be a lot. It used to be smaller. But I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen to that whole, you know, if we're really lucky, maybe one day that couch will end up in the Smithsonian.
That would
survive.
Be good. That'd be great.
I like to end up in the Smithsonian. Not me, stuffed personally, but you know, I mean, then you feel like you've kind of reached something, but you know, whatever. Yes.
Well, thank you for answering my question.
You're very welcome.
Can't wait to see the season 3 for Bay. And
yes.
I'm looking forward to anything that you else are in. Maybe you get a period TV series and we can watch you.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is, I mean, you know, I'm like I'm Sam. I'm starting to kind of like look around, like, what else is there out there? I'd love to do these costume dramas. You know, I'm wide open to that stuff. I just haven't had a chance to kind of go in on it. And they're all soap operas. Every one of them is a soap opera. You know, Breaking Bad is a soap opera with amphetamines.
They're
all soap operas.
Mad Men.
Huh? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Mad Men. You know, yeah. I mean, that's another one. So, you know, it's just some are campier. And, you know, I'd like to, You know, but they're all like, well, what's going to happen next? What's he going to do now? You know, they're all, you know, I mean, I have a feeling that scripted drama is hopefully just coming back, just because, you know, there's, I mean,
many realities,
all the Snookies and all those people, but you know, they're trying to create personas that will be interesting, and you know, so many people are not getting paid doing three jobs to try to cover acting like they're not writing what they're doing. When they're writing and scripting it all, and they're creating it all, and they're creating those opportunities where they can be that. And but it's not, you know, the most. I mean, this is not. I'm gonna say Mandingo Manor or whatever. There was those little creatures in the savannah. Meerkat Manor. There it is. Yes, Meerkat Manor. Yeah, I mean, we're not watching True Behavior. We're watching, you know, people misbehaving and kind of misbehaving, knowing that that's going to draw the camera. And
there's a shock value.
And unfortunately, and this is what I experienced on General Hospital. We did shock value when we did this 8.5 week storyline. You know, I came out of this years of playing very uptight, showing very little with Jennifer. And we started working with Christina Wagner. I said, hey, I'll do whatever you guys want to do. And I actually wanted to show people, like, I don't care. I'll do anything. This is not me. This is, you know. So we were doing outrageous stuff, pouring honey on each other and licking it off and, you know, having all sorts of relations in the kitchen or whatever room we could be in. And it was, like, outrageous. This is, like, 95, 96, you know. And I remember some articles saying, yes, soap's gone too far. Is it too much? And that was 1 week. And the next week, it was over. No one cared. Done. Next. Yeah, they're totally, you know, because it's boring, because it's not about that. Whereas with Jack and Jennifer, we just kept it going for years and years and years, because it was about the moment, about the tiny little moment.
Mm-hmm.
The tiny little moment of, like, holding back on this, and holding back on that, and maybe this, and maybe that. You know, so, you know, I'll never forget. In one magazine, I was voted worst kisser,
and
best love story, and best romance, all in the same little voting thing, which tells you something, because we just chose, because when Jack and Jennifer kissed, it was too intense, it was too much, and he wasn't good at it, and he was very uncomfortable. So it wasn't like this long, luxurious thing. There was intensity to it, and it was like there was more to come. There's always more. Anyway, I've learned that, and it's like, it's not about ease. And if you're going to do that, and like, well, look over there. It's like the poor guys who, they take all their shirts off, and then, you know, the guys, I remember the guy on some shows, these guys spent weeks and months with no shirt on. And it's like, they had no shirt budget. You know? no budget for the shirt, saving money on the shirts for the guys. But they had weeks and weeks and weeks on end where the guys were walking around with no shirt on. You just saw bare nipples all the time. It was just so boring. It was just like,
it's really awkward when somebody like Brady or something's walking around the Casa Curiacus.
Oh, I don't even mean on days. But Days does it a little bit, but there were other shows that did it more.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, and they're great guys. I mean, they're great.
No, but it's just funny, though. I think I feel bad for them in a way, although I enjoy it. But
yeah.
I feel kind of bad because they're standing around there. Everybody else is fully clothed, standing there without their shirt on for the whole episode. It's kind of funny sometimes. I don't know.
It's strange. And believe me, they're wonderful. Those guys are great. They're great.
Oh, they are.
Drake.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was with Drake years ago, and he was in an office on wheels outside, you know, in a construction site, and he was there, and that time he was, I don't know who he was, what his character was, but Adrienne was there, and she shows up, and I show up, and she's wearing a full coat, because it's winter. I'm wearing a full coat. I'm wearing like a, you know, like camel skin jacket. You know, so she, Drake is there, and they put him in a tank top. And Drake, who was just such a great guy and such a good soldier, he said, he was topless. He was topless. I'm sorry. He was topless. And they said, wait a minute, we're outside. I mean, we're in this cold, it's like this, why am I here with nothing on? And they're all dressed up and all that. And they just went, be quiet. We like it. And so, for his trouble, he at least got a tank top out of it. So it was, and then he just went ahead and did it. Because, it's like they decided, my feeling is, I felt bad because I felt like they decided the scene wasn't interesting enough. Someone needs to take their clothes off. So from the very beginning, we're like going, well, it doesn't matter what we do. It's all about how many nipples can you see?
I can't remember if I actually saw it or I just heard about it, or maybe in an interview they were talking about it one time about how, Lucas and Austin and whoever else was a guy at the time, and they're all standing out in the hallway, from their different apartments, standing there all shirtless. Like, coincidentally, they just all happen to be shirtless. It's kind of fun. I mean, you got to have a...
Oh, I know. I mean, it's just weird.
You
got to kind of
laugh about it.
The thing I liked about Lucas and what's his name? Lucas...
Austin?
Austin, yes, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, is that both Austins are 6'2", easy.
Yeah.
And the other one, Austin Peck, was almost 6'3", right? No, he wasn't 6'3", he was 6'2". Brian is 5'10", 5'9", 8".
Yeah,
he's
probably.
Okay. He had this little guy thing. I was like, Brian, did they ever put you, right next to them? And he said, they tried not to, but said it was such an obvious. This is how Dustin Hoffman made his career. He was a little engine that could.
Yeah.
And Brian really is that too.
Yeah.
Brian really is that too. If they had allowed allowed him to be what he is, this is the thing that gets me. It's like, this is where Nighttime would go. He said, look out for the little guy. Scarface was not a tall man. He wasn't a big guy. But there was nobody left standing. All the tall guys are dead by the end of that movie, of Scarface. It's just weird. My feeling is, look at what's really there, and you're going to find so much drama right in front of you. So much.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at what's there, and the audience can see it. The audience can see it. Don't try to cover it up, because the audience sees it. It's gold. It's gold. It's what's really there. But that's improvisation. Let's see the moment. See what's right in front of you. Anyway, I just rambled again.
Okay, let's get another caller on. We still have a few people waiting.
Okay, all right.
Okay, all right, Sabina. Sorry, honey, I need you to be quick.
Hi, this is Sabina.
Hi, Sabina.
I really want to say a thank you, and I really enjoyed getting to meet you here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
As well as getting to see you again in L.A. at Dimples.
Thank
that you. Was a surprise when you showed up.
Well, I don't know why. I told them I was going to be there, but, I guess they just...
announce that one, so... But it was awesome. I really enjoyed getting to meet you, and
I don't know
if you remember meeting me, but there's so many of us.
Sabina, you go by Sabina or Sabina?
Sabina.
Sabina, okay. That's a great name.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
I actually did the video interview the next morning with you, if that kind of rings a bell.
The next morning.
Yeah.
That sounds like a show unto itself, the next morning. It's like the show of denial. Like, was I there? I don't know. Yes.
When you were here in Atlanta, I was doing so many video interviews to send out to the fans that couldn't make it.
Oh,
and
okay.
I had to wait till the next morning to do yours.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
And I really appreciate you doing that, taking your time out of your schedule, because I know you were doing meetings that day. So
I mean, the point is to be organized and doing it. That's all. I don't like to waste people's time. So
right.
People like say, I'm going to be here, and then you do it, and you. You're there, and you're taking. I don't like to make people wait. So anyway,
that was
so what's your? So you have a question, Sabina?
Well, a couple of things. I did want to just say I actually agree with you on your whole ramble about the people that just are very mean and cruel, because I am not, definitely not that. I am such a huge fan of Days, been a fan since 90. I just love the whole show as a whole and every actor that's been on and is on, and I support you all. And I've actually been trying to help get you back, as well as Patrick and Christy and the whole
Thank
lot
you.
That
Thank
have been
you.
Taken off. And
yeah.
I'm really disappointed in that. So
yeah,
I actually want you to give Missy a message for me, if you can. I know you probably talked to her and your good friends. I really, really want you to tell her that I'm very sorry about all those horrid people that say horrid things. And that I absolutely adore her and you and everybody, and just...
Well, thank you.
It's not right. It is definitely wrong.
Thank you. Well, I mean, we have to, you know, unfortunately, we have to kind of govern ourselves. And for some of us who can't quite govern, it's really important that that we're not even to come down so hard on that person, not to attack them, but to understand if they're really attacking... And they're attacking somebody on a TV show, a character, and you're doing this and you're doing that. There may be something in their own life that they're not feeling that they have control over.
Right.
And that may be the real. I mean, I believe that's probably a lot of what's really going on. You know, lack of, you know, our addiction to control is the most powerful addiction we could ever have. It's more powerful than any other thing. We're addicted to control over our lives. And as a Buddhist, I believe, you know, you have to, like, understand the law of cause and effect. You've got to, you know, you made the causes, the effects are here. So so I hope that if you can take it, you know, pay it forward in a way, is that if you, you know, experience somebody, whoever they're talking about, saying something that's not really kind about one personality, and I include writers and producers and all that, because these guys, believe me, everybody wants to work. Nobody doesn't want to work. And, you know, people in the networks, they want to work too. And sometimes the fastest way to work is to kind of clear out what they perceive as the underbrush or the this and that. And it may be the very people that you really care about, but they are still people, you know. So I really, you know, ultimately the negativity, it may work in some cases. I think the negativity towards the pairing of Daniel and Jack and Jennifer, it knocked, because these writers were really trying to listen to, they were actually listening to the texts and everything like that. And I think they got this overwhelming negativity about it, and they just cut it short, which I was very sorry about. Because I knew that they had nothing behind that, and they weren't going to suddenly make it into something else, and they were going to suddenly. But when they took it away, something else was going to take its place, and it wasn't going to be Jack, and it wasn't going to be Jennifer. You know.
Well, and
so,
I think some fans too. It's like it's one thing to be a fan of the show and to be a fan of the characters, but if you're truly a fan of the actor, you really need to be acting in accordance with what's best for them. That's my personal opinion.
Well, I mean,
are
you saying what's best for the actor?
Yeah, well, no.
Well, what's
best
for the actor is for the actor to act, to be able to work.
Exactly,
you know?
That's my point. Is like, it's like if you want to see XYZ actor on the show, then you need to be supportive and tweet mostly positive things, whatever angle you can find, if you don't agree with the storyline. So, I'm so glad so-and-so's on, or, you know, whatever you can find, because it does you absolutely no good if you love that actor if they're not on, you know? And so it's like plus, you know, actors, you know, from what I can tell, appreciate the challenge. They appreciate doing something different. They appreciate getting out of, you know, ruts and everything. So while I understand people who are longtime fans of a pairing or whatever, you kind of have to look at it as, you know, if you really care about the actor as a person, you have to kind of look at it and say, look, you know, you know, you're being kind of this is my personal opinion, but you're being kind of selfish if you, you know, are wishing that a story's doomed that is actually employing them and giving them an opportunity to, you know, to do what they love. You know, so that's
well,
what I don't
yes,
know.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And they you know, a little bit of the bigger picture stuff like that. There was nothing behind Jack and Jennifer, and you know, we were at the best that we were going to get, and we would have figured it out. It wasn't easy, and believe me, you know, Missy saw it for what it was. You know, Sean and I were trying to make it work, but Missy was very worried that this is going to look like the Bachelorette Light, and unfortunately, and we were trying to kind of like make the best of it, you know. It's very unfortunate, but they were very, believe me, they listened. This is the point. They listened to what everybody said. They listened to the tweeting and the emails and all that, and people who hated it so much, and they pulled it. They cut it. They dropped it. And that's the thing that made me sad, because I know we would have worked more.
Yeah.
If people had just let it go. Mm-hmm. If people had just been happy to see us on, instead of like saying it has to be this way, it has to be that way. I was excited.
Yeah.
I personally was excited by the fact that Jennifer was happy with this other man, because, you know, my feeling was like, maybe Jack will say, okay, well, I'm going over here then.
Right.
Okay,
I'm going to
find
some
over
little,
and then Sarah Brown came on.
Jack and Nicole.
Yeah,
we were kind of hoping for Jack
Nicole.
And Nicole.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've always loved her, and we have fun together. And when Sarah Brown came on, I was like going, oh man, I'd love to work opposite her, well, you know, and just something different I thought this was the chance to finally let Jack be different, because the challenge has been not to be totally a part of the Jack and Jennifer world, but to do it in such a way that it's not just a ripping tearing. The ripping and tearing that you see is like, well, there's only one way that this couple can end, and that's the ultimate way, you know. Instead of in a really cool way where these two characters are divorced and they're going in different directions and they're seeing different people and having these wonderful interchanges with other people, and yet they keep looking over their shoulders and creating trouble for each other back and forth. The first time I ever saw this was on Hill Street Blues, which is going back a decade or two. And where there was this new these characters of Daniel, whatever his name is, the guy was he was the main character in his.
Mm-hmm.
He had a girlfriend that you followed, but then the character, the ex-wife, was a very strong character, and she was always in this show about this thing or that thing or this thing or that, and you realize, oh, he has other things in his life, he has other responsibilities, and he cannot just totally blow them off. Mm-hmm. Well, where are those relationships in daytime? Where are all the multiple families? Where are all the, you know, this person's married to this person, and then they had these children, and you know what? This person was an in-law, and now is an outlaw, and I mean, you know, to treat that, okay, this is my ex-wife, and I have to take this call, I have to listen to here, I have to do this, we have to make this work. It's really good drama. Really good drama. I don't understand why daytime has not jumped in with both feet into the whole drama of the last 40 years of families suddenly trying to deal with this you know multiple families, and now there's a new man in the picture, and now there's a new woman in the picture, and now how do we take care of the kids, and you know, how do we work this out, and you know, it's just wonderful. It's stuff, but the point is, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. It's not romantical. But I still think, because the writers are writing, you could find this beautiful spirit where you realize, oh my gosh, just because people are not are divorced doesn't mean that they're ever going to be apart. And you could always have this message underneath that said, we will always be together. We'll always be connected, one way or the other. It's our choice whether it's a negative connection today or a positive connection today, you know. But it's such a wonderful, you know, we've just kind of, I guess they just think people watching it don't want to hear about divorce and this and that because it seems so final, but there's nothing final about it. Life goes on, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's people out there who they've been doing it, but these wonderful three-way, four-way families that have so many kids and everybody has a say and it's difficult and no one knows what to say and, you know, what am I going to do? And it's my ex-wife. I have to take the call. And, you know, what are we going to do? And the awkward situations and the holidays. And it's all so awkward and wonderful and human. This to me, I really hope this is where, if we're going to do scripted, this kind of scripted drama, but it's not, you can't call it daytime anymore because it's going to be at any time, day or night. It really is indie drama. And that's the first thing. We need to kind of get away from this idea of daytime and soap.
Yeah.
There's nobody, no one's selling soap anymore either. It's not about soap. maybe it'll be condoms. Maybe it'll be condom drama. I don't know. But, I mean, my point is.
Mostly at night nowadays, yeah. Even if it's
well, I know,
so
daytime.
Night, the day, yeah.
I mean, it used to be selling soap. It used to sell soap, so they call them soaps. And now they, you know, now they sell all sorts of things. And hopefully they sell things. Or if they don't sell anything, then it'll be nothing. But the fact is, this stuff is selling. It's selling all over the place, but it's being called nighttime drama. It's being called, you know, and unfortunately we let it go because, you know, it still has a bad rap, but I'm hopeful that, you know, the positive message is that we're all connected, we're always connected, and we will never be disconnected. You know, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I'll never see you again, but I will.
Well, let me jump in there with a question from the chat room, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Jan is sitting in the chat room, and she has a question going way back to the sci-fi situation that you were talking about, your love for sci-fi.
Yeah.
Did you ever get to sit down, she asked if you ever got to sit down and have long discussions with Lauren Coslow over sci-fi?
No, I haven't. I haven't. Does Lauren love sci-fi?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Well, from what we heard, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm sure she does.
Oh, yeah.
I love Lauren. I mean, you know, the character that Deborah, I can't remember.
Adair.
Thank you. You guys are so on it. they were getting very close to Deborah Adair and my character having a little something going on when I left the show.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it. We were just shy of that because I was like, she was comforting me through this thing, and I was like this young, you know, and we were like close to it. So then, and you know, I was like, oh yeah, I'd go for that. Okay. And then I come back, and there's this, you know, later on, there's a beautiful, you know, Lauren Coslow. So there's no question about that. No question about that. But Deborah, you know, I love her and I love her acting and everything. She has been able to kind of transverse this world and still somehow maintain be classy. But she's also fun. She understands David Bowie and everything like that. She understands
David Bowie.
She understands moment and place and character and
yes.
strangeness and all that. No, I would. I didn't know that she loves that. But, I mean, it makes total sense to me because I love it too. So.
Yep. Well.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. So thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I actually had one other quick question for you.
Yes.
Who's
this again?
I was just curious. This is Sabina.
Yes. Hi.
I was just wondering if there was anything you can tell us about the new movie you're going to do.
The Dark Road. Dark Road is what it's called. We've been postponed yet again. This is one of the big news. Which is okay. That's what happens. That's how films get postponed. It happens all the time. It's a little bit like, I don't know, I'm going to say like La Femme Nikita.
Mm.
Meets Devil's Rejects to me. That's what it seems like to me. Very strange, dark. You know, it's a horror movie, but it has its fun twists and turns. And my character is a very twisted, turned character. I can't tell you any more than that because we haven't even started. We don't, you know, it's we're still looking to create it. We're still looking to.
And you don't know when you're going to start, or?
No, we don't at this point because we were going to start in August, and it's not going to happen right away, but it will happen because there's already so much momentum. But this is the nature of independent film work, and we do what we can do. But we see the point is we have a lot of great people. There's so many wonderful people who want to work and do stuff, and the point is like you got them. Seems like the magic in the artistry is like getting the group of people to be able to work together at the same time and getting it on. You know, but I mean, I have a lot of great people I work with, great partners, and we belong to something that's called Fortune 5 Entertainment, and we're just starting to come on beam, but they're great guys, and we've been working together for 3 or 4 years, and we did this one movie called Chronicles of an Exorcism that was just horribly pirated. We became a poster child for what happens to small businesses without protection. We had 3 million illegal downloads, and we never saw a dime from it. And someone made a lot of money off our movie, and we never made a dime. So, you know. Anyway, I'm starting to hear a small beep. So I'm a little concerned that maybe, if it's not my side or your side, that sooner or later this phone might die.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you for doing this chat with us, and I was glad to talk to you again. And I look forward
am I talking to the diva, to Carrie? Am I talking to?
No, this is Sabina.
Carrie, where are you?
I'm sorry. I'm going to go up to the other phone because I'm concerned about. I don't want to get cut off suddenly because I'm hearing this strange little beep. Just a second. Here I go. I'm going to get on landline. Now I'm on a landline. Okay, now I'm on.
All right.
How about we're going to stop hearing the I'm going to stop hearing the beep. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to thank you again, and I really enjoyed getting to talk to you and meet you. And I look forward to hearing more about the movie and seeing it when it does.
It's going to happen. It will definitely happen. It's just not happening immediately. But in the meantime, we've got these things working. I'm working in the Bay, and that is definitely going to happen and happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm auditioning for new things, and they won't give me my clothes from Days of Our Lives, so I don't know what happened. because they don't trust it anymore either. Which is nice. You can take it. It's nice. I'd rather have the uncertainty than the clothes, frankly. Who knows? Maybe sooner than later. But I mean, it will be sooner than later. Believe me. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Sabina.
Thank you, Sabina. Yes.
Okay. Let's get on Mary. Okay. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi. Can you hear
Hi,
me?
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Well, it's been great listening to all of you, and you've answered all of my questions too. And what I was going to just touch on was your movies. I saw Catch of a Lifetime and Deceit and I was actually wondering, when is Winning Favor and The Unlikelies coming out maybe?
I think Winning Favor is out. I'm not sure. That's a very small faith-based film out of...
a true story, correct? Or based
on a
true
story? Yeah, it is a true story. And frankly, I played it very straight, because that's how they wanted it. But, I kind of watched it and was like, oh, man, this needs some humor. But the guy I was being is still there. He's still the coach. It's like I was like trying to do this thing when he was right there.
I got to see some pictures of all of you on, behind the scenes and stuff, and that was amazing to see you or him work with you during the filming.
Yes, exactly. Especially considering the fact that I don't play basketball. And I told them, I said, look, I don't really play basketball, so don't ever touch, I'm never going to touch a ball.
And so we kind of stayed with that for quite a long time until the players, who are these great guys, and they're the real, these, some of these are the real basketball players from that time, and then some younger guys who were playing it. It was a few years before. And they finally figured out that I never, ever touched the ball. So every now and then they would shoot a ball right at me, and I'd have to turn sideways, let the ball go right by me, and act like it didn't happen. Because, you know, I can barely dribble.
Good thing you were the coach.
Yes, exactly. And I'm the coach. Exactly, exactly. So anyway, it was okay. It was okay. But I just, it was heavy duty, but it was like, you know, it could have been funnier. I needed some humor. My feeling. That's just my feeling.
Yeah. Well, and you're great at humor, too, so it
would
be
great. Well, I just meant,
see.
Like life is, I mean, and these guys were good actors. They were really interesting actors, and humor just can convey. You know, there were some heavy things that happened, but we needed to kind of keep that humorous moment. Otherwise, we're all taking ourselves too seriously. Anyway, I don't know if it's been out yet. I think it has, but anyway, it's out there. Maybe.
And maybe the Unlikelys. You look like a
no. The
a
Unlikelys
great character.
Unlikelys has not been released yet. Because of the disastrous thing we had with Chronicles of an Exorcism. Yeah, we're literally working on a way to release it where we have stockholders. We got people who've like really helped invest, and we were so extraordinarily ripped off. And people have to understand this is that you put your heart and soul into this, and you got family members, friends, and putting money into things, and all of a sudden someone takes it away from you and they make all the money and you never see a dime. And suddenly it's everywhere. That's what happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
We were literally, you know, you'd think we'd know better. Well, we didn't. It's all, you know, so we're trying to find ways to work through that and hopefully soon so we can let the Unlikelys out because it's a funny character. I mean, you know, it's a funny show. It's a funny movie. And I play a character who's a couple of characters, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
I play a soap opera actor, exactly.
Well, I see. Yes. You can find little bits and pieces of it, but, you know, to see the whole thing would be, you know, even better.
Yeah,
so that's why I was asking.
It's a very sweet movie, and it's very fun, and we haven't had a chance. I've also, the movie just came out called Fuzz Track City that I have not seen. I played a detective, a well-paid detective from the west side of Los Angeles, competing against a poor underdog detective, gumshoe detective from the valley. And I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard it's very well, you know, they've got great music and great characters. It's called Fuzz Track City. Track City. So I haven't even seen that yet, but hopefully people can find that, and I think it's going to be really fun, but I had a fun character in that. I'm just trying to do a lot of different things, yeah.
Well, it was great that they got to release Catch of a Lifetime. That movie really hit home, and it was just an amazing movie. You did wonderful with Julia Denton.
Great, isn't she? She's a wonderful actress. I mean, I just played a goofy guy, you know, and I wanted to be goofy, but they wanted me to be, I think they wanted me to be a little less goofy, but I thought, you know what, this only glorifies the girl, because look, she turns this guy, this goofy guy, into this amazing guy. It takes an amazing woman to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, he's not a jerk, he's just not perfect. That's
like kind of like Nick Miller's character. He was kind of, I could see he was kind of maybe, you know, on the jerk side other than he wanted to be with her, but.
He was, but you know what, but he, and he wanted to be, and he played it very close. He just, he's a businessman, and he cared for her. He would make it work. He would make it work. But it wasn't love. Her love was with this guy. He was like this kind of like loser.
Billy Joe. Yeah.
Billy Joe is like this kind of guy. He's like, well, what are you going to, you know, she loves him, but he doesn't really have any prospects, as her mother would say. What are his prospects? Mm-hmm. And this is the real challenge. I think that's great storytelling. Like, the guy who you love has no prospects. The man you don't love has great prospects. What do you do? That's a great story.
Think a lot of, yeah, that's why I was like, it hit close to home, because a lot of people, I think, go through that. And it was just,
yeah.
It's wonderful to be able to see that, you know, other people have the same situations, similar but different. And the location looked wonderful, too.
Yeah, it was. And the difficulty is to say, it, you know, it is not to say that life was perfect afterwards. They made it look like that a little bit. But the fact is, she was the breadwinner. She, you know, they found a way to make her business work. She was actually very talented. He was, you know, my goal was to say, he's not a great businessman. He loves to fish. That's what he does. He loves to do stuff with people. And, I mean, you know, but it wasn't my script. But, I mean, originally he was like the star of the basketball, the football team, and the this and that. I mean, it was really written like classic.
Small town.
It was your classic stuff. It was your classic heroic soap opera, you know, or not soap opera, just romance drama. And I just thought, you know what, how much more.
Small town mentality, too.
What? Excuse me?
The small town mentality, too, because it was.
Mentality, exactly.
Well, just like kind of. What happens in a small town? How everyone.
Well, yes, and there's so much more there.
Growing
but the
up
fact is that you know, it doesn't matter that he's tired and this and that and old, all this stuff. Is that he's who he is. He's who he is, and if he's comfortable who he is, she needs to come to terms with that. And actually, she is the not to say breadwinner, but she is the, you know, she is the driver of that particular economy, and that shouldn't be stopped. So they found a way to kind of find that and make that happen, and he just continued to be what he was. And you know, it's just like, you know, we have to like let go of this ego things where the woman brings this certain amount of money and the man brings that in, and he's good and she's bad because he does this and she doesn't do that and all that kind of stuff. That to me is interesting. So, anyway, it was interesting on those counts. But again, I was just doing. I'm like just an actor in the piece, so I enjoyed it.
Well, and you're also great in Outside the Box too, as Dirty Harry. I have to say.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was very fun.
Yes, with Bruce Kimmel. Is that who?
Yes, Bruce Kimmel. Mm-hmm. I did Deceit with. Yes.
Yes.
Which is out there somewhere. That was, you know, that character from Deceit was really much like Jack and that kind of stuff, and very fun, very, very fun.
Michael, was that his name in the?
Oh, I have no, I can't. You know what? Yes, I think his name was Michael. Yes.
It was a good stage play, right? It was more.
It is a stage play. It remains a stage play. Yes, we had a little bit of we did a recording of it, and so people got a chance to see it.
Well, it's been wonderful to see you in all those things, and hope to see you in the future.
Thank you.
And I will miss you as Jack on Days. I have to say that too. And I've been watching you
since
I was a child. So you know,
you've watched. Here, Emma, could you put this on the cradle down there? Thank you. Just a second. Yes, thank you. Since you were a child, I know you've been watching Jack.
My mother would come home from school. Yeah, and my sister and my mom, we would.
Your mother came
home
from school, and she was in third grade, and she watched me, and then you were born. I know. It's amazing. I'm sorry. It's amazing how time passes. How time passes that people are going to go, I watched you, I was like in utero, and I was watching you, and I'm like, really? Oh, my gosh. I feel like I'm like about 15. Gee whiz. Yes. Anyway, that's okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Yes.
Okay, we have two more callers, and we'll try to make this quick.
Okay, very good.
Okay, Amber, you're on, Matthew.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Amber.
I've been a major fan of yours since I was, back in 2001 when I first started watching. I'm kind of one of the newbies.
Yes.
I have enjoyed watching you and Missy both portray Jack and Jennifer. One of my main questions, I know we're kind of running out of time. One of my main questions is, if you were asked to do an RBI event in the Midwest, would you be open to it?
If I was asked to do an RBI, retinoblastoma international event?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, yeah, yeah. I would always, you know, that we're encouraging more and more people to have their own retinoblastoma events, maybe awareness events. Things are changing so fast. And my daughter, I'm happy to say, is she's just about to turn 15. She's in tremendous good health. We're very, very fortunate. And yet I know that not everybody is in that shape. So, yes, I'm open to that. I mean, it's a matter of, like, getting there. Creating an event, creating a being able to have, you know, I mean, it's very important to have hundreds of people there to support that event. But it's about children's eye cancer. It really, really, it can impact everybody because even if you don't have eye cancer, there are about 9 or 10 or 11 or 12 eye anomalies that can cause your child to have learning disabilities that will affect the rest of their life because they, for the most part, a lot of times they go undetected because no one realized for the first 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years that you really couldn't see, not very well. So the great thing is that we can say, yes, let's clear out the cancer, but at the same time, we're going to get all these other things. And the fact is that 6 out of 10 kids who drop out of school can't see the board or hear the teacher. So we're doing a really great service at the same time. So yes, I'm interested in doing an event. But you know, if someone has some great idea and it's going to rise to a certain level, it can, you know, it's going to be big. Not to stop people from doing like small. Like let's have 25 people come over to my house and do all that. I can't really show up for that, but if you have a really, really, really big event, yes, I can absolutely figure out a way to come. But in the meantime, I'd love to encourage everybody to, let's just have, 25 people come to my house and have a party and raise money for Retinoblastoma International and infant eye care. That's a beautiful thing. But that's www.retinoblastoma.net. That's, we're definitely open to that. But for a big thing, definitely for a larger event, I'm definitely open for that. So thank you.
Last night I talked to Sean a little bit, and I asked him, told him about my idea for wanting to start one here in Oklahoma, and he said that if I sent him an email on my idea, that he would be able to help me. Sean is one of them that does the Dane's charity event.
Are you talking about Sean Christian?
No, Sean, one of the people that's behind the Dane Charity event.
The co-founder. Person.
I'm sorry, the who?
The co-founder of Dane Charity event.
Oh, Dane Charity. Oh, Sean, you mean the other Sean? Okay, I know who you're talking about. Yes.
I was talking to him a little bit about it.
Yes, they do really good work too. Yes, they do. They really do, and I've been trying to work with them too. And Sean is an amazing person. He's fighting his own. He has major diabetes, and he's an amazing guy because he's like really challenged his own life and energies just to try to help other people. And and he's very high energy, but at the same time, he's very. It's very hard. It's not easy. His own health is at risk and all that. But he's a good guy, and he's just trying to live his life. And he's a bright light. That's for sure.
Okay. And my second question: since 2001, which would be Aspen Plant, the bridge, the island, which one did you prefer doing?
I'm sorry, in 2001, something with the island and
since the Aspen plant, the bridge accident, when Jennifer's car went off the moon.
Oh, the plant, yes. No, the plant was always kind of silly to us because it represented, it was kind of silly. I don't know. They tried to make what was important to us, you know, this plant, and both Missy and I were kind of, we hoped that we would represent what was most important between us, that the audience didn't need to know that there was a jade plant. Jade plant, that's what it was, right? The jade plant is always, will always be a, if I sent Missy a jade plant, she would laugh right now. She would be laughing a lot right now. Yeah. Because we both had a lot of laughs with the jade plant. You know, how many, and it's like Babe, the pig. How many Babe the pigs were there? I don't know. There were a lot. More than anyone would want to know. The same thing with the jade plant. There were a lot of jade plants. So it's kind of silly in a way. That's okay.
Okay, and on my last note, I do really look up to you, and I really have admired you since I started watching. And then, I lost my train of thought.
Someone's telling you something, yes.
I just hope that everything works out and that you get to come back today soon or somewhere on TV.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You know, if it's not on Days, it's already somewhere else. I'm already
working on the Bay
and other things. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, the important thing is to remember that, and I've come to realize this too, is like unless the writers are really excited about you, you really don't want to be on. I've been on when the writers were not excited for years at a time, and Ken mm-hmm. Corday and Greg Meng kept me on the show because they believed in me, and the writers at that time, the writers have changed a lot, didn't. But they, mm-hmm. you know, I was on, and they just kind of found ways to kind of just make use of me or keep me just functioning and staying there or sending me off and this and that and this and that. And it was kind of a waste. It was really a waste of my time. But I was not ready to say enough. So now the time has come, and, you know, enough is enough, and it was good. I came on this show this time, and they used me a lot. And I appreciate it because the writers really used me. And the producers really used me, and now they're done with me, and that's good. It's good to be used and then be done, you know, not to be just hanging around. So I really appreciate, the time I've had, and I'm not begrudging the time I'm not having because they wouldn't be using me anyway. So it's good.
And okay.
Thanks, Amber.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Okay, before we bring Susan on, in case we run long, the fans can call in 914-338-1239. So we'll go into archives, but we will be off live here in about 3 minutes. But I'm going to get Susan on.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's complicated.
Yes, I know it is.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay, Susan.
Hello.
There she is. Go ahead.
Hi, Matt. Just wanted to tell you I'm a huge fan, have always been a huge fan, and will follow you whatever you do and whatever show you go on to next. And I wanted to actually talk about the Bay really quick because
yes.
I really only started watching it because you were going to be on it.
Thank you.
And I have to tell you, Steve scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, he's kind of a twisted guy, but you know what? I believe there's more underneath.
Well,
I think
see now, that's what I was going to say. I think there's more to that story, and I was curious if you could give us a little hint because I don't think Sarah's as perfect. You know, I kind of get the feeling that she's a little like
she's not a liar.
She's
not perfect, but you know who she is to Steve. She and Steve were raised as brother and sister, and yet they weren't brother and sister. And yet, my feeling is, they were the first boy and girl that the other ever really experienced. And although she was in a pretty good place to understand that, he was not. And I think he really, really, really fixated on her as being the love of his life. And there you have the drama. There's the challenge.
Right.
There's the problem. And he has all sorts of other problems, you know, sociopathic or whatever. But they were raised very, very closely, and you know, and there's a really great possibility here. So
well,
I don't. We'll see where that goes.
It's a testament to your talent, I think, because you know we see you all the time as you know the good guy and everything, and we love you that way. And then to watch you on that and have you actually unnerve me and make you know scare me is really amazing, I think. Because,
well, thank you. Thank
you.
I don't think that Stephen thinks he's unnerving or scaring. He's just doing what he has to do to get back to where he wants to be. And he doesn't believe he's done anything wrong, and he disputes the whole rape. So.
Well, that whole your confessions scene.
Oh, that, yeah.
Oh, my God, that was very scary.
Yeah. I mean, that's the point. Is that it's like let madness kind of like run its course, and all sorts of craziness comes out. But that's something that only the audience sees, not everybody else. So
well,
now
are you going to get to be on? Are we going to see more of you on season 3?
Yes. Oh yes. I mean, I'm in the very, very, very beginning of season 3. Yeah, a lot. It's starting to pick up. Yeah, I'm happy. Yeah, I'm happy to say that it's a lot more. You know, I think we're starting to kind of like get to something. He's a very complicated character, but I mean, I do believe that he has a deep love for Sarah. So. That, although he can say whatever he wants to say, but I think he really deeply, he is, I have a feeling she is his one and only.
Oh.
For better or for worse.
And is it the Bay going to move on to television, or is it
going
to stay?
Maybe. There's a lot of, after the Emmys, there's a lot of interest. There's a lot of people who are willing to really look at it very strongly, which is very cool. Very cool.
There's a lot of talented people on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. But they're dealing with it very well. Gregory's really great, and they're producing it well, and the pictures are getting better and better and better. So I'm very happy with that.
Well, I just wanted to say I really enjoy watching you on that, and I look forward to seeing more of you on it.
Thank you.
I have enjoyed you for many years as Jack, and to me, Jack is one of the best characters ever on the soap.
Well, thank you. That's really very kind. And you know, I mean, just keep tuning into Days this next week and a half. And so, I hope we will not disappoint. And who knows?
I highly doubt that you would ever disappoint, because really, you make that character. And I don't that you know, even though they did put somebody else in there, and he was a good actor and everything, it's not the same character. They kind of tried to make him more of a cookie cutter hero, and the way you play him is he has so many facets. You make him very fascinating. And
thank you.
And I've very much enjoyed your performance with him over the years, and anything I've ever seen you do. So I look forward to seeing you in many things, and I wish you good luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And hopefully we will please again. This next week on Days, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. And I'm hoping that after that, maybe we can talk again on, you know, this show. And definitely on my my website, on Matthew Ashford, my Matthew Ashford site. I really want to appreciate what they did, how they wrote, how they've written everything so far. Again, after so many years, it's beyond never say never. You just don't know. You just don't know.
I would have liked to have seen Jack in a new relationship with a different woman and explore that.
Yeah.
And maybe if they bring you back again, they could bring you back, like, maybe with amnesia in a whole new relationship, not knowing anybody else. And
That would be interesting. Who knows? I mean, they need to literally look at Matthew Ashford as a very strong possibility, not Jack, I really like this production team. I've gotten such great things, even from the cameramen and people like that. And I love the people, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful working relationship. But I agree, is that they haven't been able to figure out how to break beyond this, whatever they want to call the super couple thing. But Gary, believe me, I'm sure Gary's killing it all, for better or for worse. Peter and Christian, Peter's going. Jack is gone. I'm saying this now because, we're going to see it. It's the very thing that made Days kind of strong was also a very difficult thing to write for. And so as a writer, and I think Gary's a great writer, he's realizing I have to shake this up. So he's shaking it up. So I really hope everybody gives him a chance to shake it up. This guy's an Emmy Award-winning writer and producer, and he's really good. And so my feeling is if he doesn't see anything for me, then there's no reason to be there. But if he sees something for me, believe me, it's going to kick butt.
Well, I hope he does, because you any character you play up against, you do a great job no matter who you work with. And they really should try to, I guess, utilize you more in that sense and have you interact with more people, because, you know, you just do a great job with whoever you work with.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Susan.
So, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Thanks so much for hanging in there.
Was there one more? I'm sorry. Was there one more? I had to cut them off. But
we got everybody on.
We got everybody there. We're still recording right now, though. Yes.
We are still recording.
And I thank you, everybody. I know we're recording, and I thank everybody for listening in and all that. And it's been a rough. You know, it's been a rough couple of weeks or months, but my hope is that the people who say they identify with being a Jack and Jennifer fan are really amongst the classiest. They're really amongst the people who really, because I've always said, you know what, the people who watch this show are very smart. They're very smart. They know what they want. This is their chance to kind of have a little bit of downtime. They understand what's really going on. So I really hope that the people who watch Jack and Jennifer and whatever we're doing is that they don't go to the lowest common denominator, that they can that they really can see the larger picture and just understand it and realize, you know, we come and we go. And let's appreciate the time we have. And, I mean, this is all part of, you know, my belief in, you know, chanting Nam-myoho Renge-kyo and, yeah, create value now where you are. Don't wait for maybe in the future we'll get this and we'll get that. It's like, you know, Nam-myoho Renge-kyo, let's do it now. Let's create. What have I got now? You know, that's what I'm doing now. And I've met so many amazing viewers who have changed their lives, and they're doing great things. You know, that to me is a real actual proof. And I want to see people happy. I don't want to see them unhappy because the characters are not doing this. I want to see them happy because their lives are moving. And this show is just a wonderful thing that they enjoy and they need a little downtime for and that sort of thing. And I'm not suffering. I'm happy for everyone. I'm happy for everyone who's working. And I'm really happy that, you know, I've had a chance to work with these great, great, great actors, and especially Missy and, you know, Deidre and, you know, just recently. That we have these opportunities. Let's not denigrate them, you know. Well, let's make the best of them that we have. So, anyway.
Yes.
Nam-myoho Renge-kyo. That's my main message. So let's,
wow.
You know,
it's a great one.
Well, I mean, even if, for people who say, I don't believe that, I'm a Christian, I'm a Muslim, I'm Jewish, I'm this and that. You know, Buddhism doesn't seek to say, oh, you must change who you are. It's like, let's just find the best possible, let's create value together. And there's no reason why any our religions cannot come together and create value and care about youth and culture and art and the future and education, you know. And so I'm all about that. I'm really about, let's create a beautiful, beautiful future. And, you know, and I plan to be a part of it. And I thank everybody out there tonight who's listening for also being a part of it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Nam-myoho
Renge-kyo. Again. Yes.
Get a hold of us anytime if you want to
Absolutely.
Do another
maybe
show.
Maybe we'll talk after this next week when the show kind of comes through, because I really want to give people a chance to experience it on their own. Yeah, I mean, because it's good stuff. I'm very proud of it. I'm very happy. I'm very happy how how we've done it because it's been it was good. It's very good.
Oh.
So we'll talk, listen, we'll figure out a time. We'll talk afterwards.
All right.
Okay, that sounds great.
Right. Thank you everyone for all their amazing support. And we'll talk again soon.
Okay, thanks. Take care.
Thank you. Nam-myoho Renge-kyo. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Matthew.
Bye.